Today on Real Radio.
We're living in the last days. What does that mean? And if it's the last days, why has it taken Jesus 2,000 years to come back? That's a good question.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, there's a common thread that runs throughout this letter to the believers, discernment. And in verses 18 and 19 of the second chapter, John uses a word that should concern every true believer. That word is Antichrist. He also writes the word Antichrists, plural. Of course, he explains the difference and why they are just that, Antichrist. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called Who is Antichrist?
Why don't you grab your Bibles and turn to 1 John tonight in chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we are going to go as far as we can tonight in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. We'll get as much of the verse as we can tonight, but we probably won't finish it. This is a verse that is extremely powerful, and we need to know it well in our day and our age, like never before. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. He says, John does, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." Let me read verse 19, but we won't touch on it tonight. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." The title of the message tonight, and probably for the next week or so, is Who is Antichrist? Who is Antichrist? It's a very important question, and it's a question that is getting more important as the days progress in front of us as believers in these last days. John says something interesting here in his warning to us in verse 18. He doesn't even call it the last days. He says it's the last hour. I like that kind of thinking. But what is it when the apostles said, these are the last days, this is the last time, or this is the last hour? What is it that they're saying? Do we read it and do we get frustrated because maybe they're exaggerating? No, because the Holy Spirit is the one speaking to us in the Word of God. It's not the words of John. It's not the words of Paul. It's the words of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We're living in the last days. What does that mean? And if it's the last days, why has it taken Jesus 2,000 years to come back? That's a good question. Is the Word of God failing? No. The fact is, we don't have a clear understanding, and when we don't, we're quick to criticize. Remember when Jesus said in Revelation 22, "Behold, I come quickly." Well, our next question would be, what's taking you so long? Well, that declaration has nothing to do with coming soon. It doesn't mean I'm coming soon. It means that when the book of Revelation, when the things of the seven-year tribulation begin, when all of it begins to tick off in quick, consecutive order, I'll be back quickly. I'll be back soon. Once it starts. Once what starts? Very specifically, once there's a seven-year peace treaty signed in Israel. That's what starts the great tribulation period. Jesus says, from that moment on, I'll be back very quickly. And we know what that means. It means 7 years after that signing, he'll be back. 7 years. And you can set your watch to it. It won't be 7.5 or 6.75. It'll be 7 years. But we need to be asking the question, who is Antichrist? And what does it all mean? With the advent of the New Testament age, these last days, what does that statement mean and how does it relate to this person or to this attitude, this spirit of the Antichrist? Understand this. The reason why the New Testament says from its very inception, these are the last days, it is because in the New Testament, With the revelation of Scripture, it is the last word that God is giving. For millenniums, he had spoken by and through the prophets of old. But with the advent of the New Testament, it was an event mark. If you've ever worked in any kind of a research facility, you might have, like an oscilloscope, or you might have some sort of a graph recorder, and there's a countdown. Okay, we're going to take the sample, or we're going to inject the fluid, or we're going to ignite the engines, and we're going to do a countdown to whatever that application might be. And they might say, 3, 2, 1, now. And as soon as they hit now, there are people recording data. And as soon as that happens, that data recorder hits the button, or on that strip recorder, that chart recorder, he punches a little button that says event, and there's a mark. And from that moment, you begin to see, as that data flows, that you can count off as you research the data, from the event mark to the change in the atmosphere, or the change in the biology, it took this long. When the New Testament came into being, when Jesus said, this is the blood shed for you, and this body is the body broken for you, when the church was born on Pentecost, a great event marker took place. The church age was born, but it's a time short-lived. Now, personally, I would love to see Jesus come right now. The only thing that keeps me from hesitating, and this is a funny thing, the only thing that keeps me from hesitating is I want to know for sure that, say, my family's saved. Then I want to know if my extended family's saved. Then I want to know if others are saved. Because I know if Jesus would have come back on June 21st, 1977, I would have been left out of the kingdom because I didn't get saved until the next day. Well, know this. You and I are to be living with a great expectancy for Jesus' return. In fact, it's a real purifying power in our lives. And it's wrong for us to say, well, I want the Lord to come back, but I don't. I don't want him to come back because I want to reach more people. And, evangelism is very important to me. You know, let God be God, will you? Just do the evangelism part, and he'll do the coming back part. And plus, here's the fun thing. If you want Jesus to come back soon, evangelize more. We can hasten the day of the Lord. Isn't that bizarre? Man, that's fun. Someday, somewhere in the world, could be in some jungle in Africa, could be on the streets of New York, could be right here. Can you imagine when somebody says the last person that God knows is going to be in the body of Jesus Christ, the bride, that person says, Lord, in Jesus' name, I accept you as my Savior. Amen. We're gone. Can you imagine? Gone. That'd be great. We are living in the last days. It doesn't matter what your opinion is about it. It doesn't matter if you want to kick and scream about it. The apostles, the prophets tell us, Jesus himself says we are living in the last days. How can we know for sure? I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. And you know what? You write these things down. And let's just have the Holy Spirit dialogue with us this evening. Let's just open it up to the Lord here. But I'd rather have you get these and get these well than for us to just bark out some commands and make sure we get all the points down and run out of the building. Who is Antichrist? Well, we need to be watchful. As we said, it's the last days. How do we know? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in the times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. All right, listen. He has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, they tell us that God in the last days has spoken, and he has spoken for the final time. Did you hear me? The Bible speaks of the final time. He has spoken once in these last days, finally. Who's it through? Jesus Christ. He's done revealing his will to us regarding the Word of God. You cannot come on the scene and add to the Bible. You cannot take away from the Bible. You can't teach 64 books out of the 66 books. You can't teach all of Corinthians but leave out the chapters that have the speakings and the teachings and the doctrines of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're in gross error. But you can't add to the Bible either. You can't do it. Revelation 22:7, Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Now, there's cults. You can pick them. As soon as I mention the word cult, certain names come to your mind. That's who I'm talking about. Certain cults will come on your door and say, "Hey, we can add to the book because Jesus was saying in Revelation nobody should add to that book." Oh, yeah? Well, in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, it says, "You shall not add to the word which I've commanded you, nor take anything away from it." That was in Deuteronomy. God sums it up, as we looked at Hebrews, that he's done speaking. He has spoken through his Son. There is no new revelation of another testament. And by the way, if there is a new revelation of another testament, then what keeps me from going out into the wilderness and so-called waiting upon the Lord? And I happen to get up and stumble in the forest over a collection of, not golden tablets, but platinum tablets. Platinum. And these tablets tell me that all churches, including the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon church has departed from the way, and God says, "I want to start all over, and I want to start with you, Saint Jack." Now, the interesting thing about this is this can happen over and over and over again 1,000 times. But what keeps you or I going out into the wilderness or going out somewhere and getting a new revelation that all of the religious entities around the world have failed and now there's a new way to go, another testament? You see, you can go on and on. The Bible says no one adds to the book. Very carefully. No one adds to the book. He makes it clear. Revelation 22, verse 18. "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the book of the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Deuteronomy 12, 32. "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it." Prophecy is God's defining factor between false and true messengers. Prophecy is what God uses in the world to separate the true from the false prophets. Listen, Satan can mimic miracles. You better understand that well, people. We better know this well. Satan can mimic miracles. I'll come back to this in a second. It's so troublesome. Satan can mimic religion. He's a master at it. Satan can mimic wonders. Satan can mimic gifts of the Spirit. Satan infiltrates pulpits. Satan creates churches. Don't underestimate the ability of the enemy. What is it that Satan cannot do? He has never been able to produce a true prophet. Not once, never, nor shall he ever be able to produce a true prophet. That's why the Bible says, to match everything that a prophet says against the Word of God. If he's found out not to be in line with the Word of God, he's to be rejected and to be cast out of a church. Certainly in the Old Testament, they were to be killed by stones. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, well, that would be pretty impressive, don't you think? I'm a dreamer. I'm a prophet. Cool. What can you do for me? I'll do you this sign. I'll do you this wonder. And the sign and the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, now listen, here comes the doctrinal part. Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words that that prophet or that dreamer dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Interesting. A dreamer and a prophet can come. They can do signs and wonders. But if they have doctrine that's false, you're to not give them one moment of your ear. Now, let me say this, because this is going to happen, and it is happening in our world, but it could happen in our area. What would you do? Think now. What need do you have? Do you have a financial need? Do you have an emotional need? Do you have a spiritual need? Do you have a physical need? Think now, whatever your need is. What would you love to have? I think right now, just knowing some of you around here, I think Chuck would love to be lifted from that wheelchair. I think, as I know some of you here, that you'd love to be lifted from your incurable blood disorder that you have. I would love to be cured of Crohn's disease, which I have. Whatever your situation is, think about it. You would love to be cured from it. Maybe it's cancer. And you heard that, say, over at such and such church, they're having a special revival meeting. And there's a man there, and you've heard rumors that this man has been able to cause people to come out of their wheelchairs. And they're walking and running and leaping. Or you've heard that he's healing diseases. Or you're emotionally unstable and you're hearing that he's causing people to have sound minds again. What would you do? Well, you would go there, wouldn't you? But if being there, you discerned that the message was off, he's not giving glory to Jesus Christ. He's not claiming that Jesus is the one doing the miracles. He's not wholly given over to sound doctrine. What would you do? Deuteronomy, Moses says, don't even give the knucklehead the time of day. You see, you and I live in a culture that is so spiritually void of depth to backbone. If we hear something that really tempts us, I don't think we've been really tempted. But if something came along really tempting us, would we go even against the word of God because it would meet the need? Wow. You see, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. It has many drapings, and some of them very, very good. And God wants us to be wise and careful. Jesus warned concerning what John is speaking to us in verse 18. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said there, it says, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to him, show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Jesus privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? That's their first question. Second one is, what will be the sign of your coming? And the third question is, and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. That's his response. Don't be deceived. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. That's actually ethnos versus ethnos. ethnic groups against ethnic groups, political realms against political realms, and there will be famines, man-made, man-engineered famines. There will be pestilence, incurable diseases, earthquakes in various places, unusual seismos. But Jesus, his first warning is, don't be deceived. John says right here in our study, he said, there's this Antichrist, this spirit of the Antichrist. Jesus says, watch out. Many false Christs will come. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says there, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. That's an amazing thing to say. This church at Thessalonica, they had only been 1 year of age. They've only been a church for 1 year. Paul wrote them approximately 1 year after he had visited them. He started a church there in Thessalonica. By the way, you can go there today. Thessalonica is still there. It's one of the oldest cities in the world. And it still goes by that name. Paul only spent 4 weeks at that church. He started it, stayed 4 weeks, and he left. And when you read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he taught them about the predestination of God's people, and he taught them about the rapture of the church in 4 weeks. That's what Paul thought was important, that your salvation is secure and Jesus is going to rapture you out of this planet. He's coming back for the church. That's what they were taught in 4 weeks period of time. Well, he writes to them a year later and he says, concerning the times and the seasons, you have no need that I should write unto you. Why? Because they knew the scriptures. They were searching the word and they were in touch with the Lord. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul states it to Titus, this passionate announcement that we're to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another passionate plea is in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. That's a beautiful promise regarding the rapture of the church. But how are we to be living? We're to be walking in these hopeful passages. We're to be careful against the spirit of the Antichrist. And it's out there and it's invading. In ancient times, there were those models, there were those types of the Antichrist.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, taking us through a section of 1 John chapter 2. It's one of the passages in this letter to believers where the apostle uses two terms that should concern every single one of us who claim to follow Jesus: Antichrist, singular, and Antichrists, plural. The title of this presentation, Who is Antichrist? Who is Antichrist? is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look into these three New Testament letters written by the Apostle John himself. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Speaking of which, remember that every Monday night you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, right there at hischannel.com. Also, don't forget that we're still making available for you the book by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs called Turnaround at Home. We'll send you Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. It's all yours for your gift of any amount toward the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write, but do it as soon as you can. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit realradioactive.org to place your gift and request Turnaround at Home, the brand new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Or write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. Our telephone number again, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.